Hello, you are listening to Davin Cyberden, the antivirus to boring radio. In studio are Joe Curry.
Hello.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And yours truly, Davin Rosenblatt. How is everybody today?
Good.
Good.
Excellent. We got a great show tonight for you. We're gonna have Jim Mulahey back with us. He was the ethical hacker we spoke to a few weeks ago. We're going to be discussing tonight the tools that I found a hacker selling to scammers.
Wow.
Yeah, so that they don't want us to know that stuff, but now we do, and we're going to share it with all you. We're also going to answer your emails, of course, and we have a brand new Davin's Cyberden Scams, the Scammers, ready to go. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
Awesome.
Jam-packed show. So like you guys know, I like to infiltrate the scammers' website. Hack them, as it were. I like to, and on these scammer websites, they talk shop. You know, they help each other. They talk about how they can help scam all of us. They make fun of us and everything. They have all this credit card information. So I just I like to watch it and learn and everything.
Sure.
So I saw a hacker selling his wares.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and with prices and everything.
With prices?
A price list?
It was a shopping list.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you could just talk to him. He gives his contact information, and you could get all these things. And of course, he's selling them to scammers, which is, you know, one of the things we cover all the time. So I was seeing all this thing, and I was thinking, you know what? This is right up Jim's alley.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought Jim back from Prevalent so he could explain what was going on with all this. I interviewed Jim earlier, so it was actually an hour-long interview. So we're gonna play it over the next couple of weeks, but I think it was really interesting. We're going to play the first couple parts of it tonight. So here we go. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Jim, welcome to Davin Cyberden. Jim, the reason I called you back is I want to get some clarity on something I found on one of the websites scammers use to communicate with each other about scamming. It was a Chinese hacker offering to sell his abilities to scammers. And I think when most of us think of scammers, we think of people who are con artists and liars. I don't think most of us realize that scammers and hackers actually work in tandem. So when I told you what I found, you told me you were surprised I found this, because you said most of the time these services are found on the dark net. What's the dark net?
Well, the dark net is really where the underground black market exists, and there's a large number of transactions that are taking place there. And most advanced professional thieves, I'll put it that way, or attackers, are going to sell their services there without risking being caught. That's why I was surprised that you were able to come up with basically a pricing list of services.
But how does somebody get access to the darknet? Because I've heard of it before in law enforcement, but a lot of them can't even crack into the darknet. How does somebody find it?
Typically, you have to be involved in some other activity, illegal activity, to even have an opportunity to be invited in. It's really just like being invited to a special club that you need an invitation before you gain entry.
So it's going over the same fiber optics, all the ways that the internet goes, but I guess it's just heavily coded that most people wouldn't show up in search engines?
It certainly wouldn't show up in search engines. Sometimes it's more of a direct connection where you would have to know an IP address or a location, which could be a dial-up network or something of those down that road.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not something that you could search for in most cases.
It's fascinating. I mean, I didn't even know such a thing existed until actually a few weeks ago. So then it's just fascinating. But so Jim, just overall, broadly, why would a scammer conspire with a hacker to use hacking tools?
Well, I think that the best way to really phrase that or answer to your question is the combination of having the right hacking tools and the right scam is going to, unfortunately, fool the masses. So, for instance, a scammer that comes up with a good plan, you know, whether that be a phishing email or something else, they typically don't know how to get it to the people that they want to target or scam.
Okay.
Now, a hacking professional will have the ability to take that message and very sneakily or, you know, with very little regard for people's privacy, they'll be able to get that to you, and you will not be aware of them. Basically, that content is coming to you. And typically that'll be done in the form of you'll want to download a game or some other file or program, mm-hmm. and it'll come along with it.
Okay, so like if there was a checkers game online that I wanted to download to my computer, I would download that game, and a hacker would put something in there, a Trojan, something in there, that would gain access to my computer, and then a scammer, I guess, could take all the information that I have on there.
So what they would typically do is that they would have that Trojan, like you had mentioned, mm-hmm. or maybe a RAT, a remote access Trojan, mm-hmm. that would allow someone to control the remote system,
mm-hmm.
where then they'd be able to gain the access to that person's machine. Typically, there's many motivations that they have in doing that, though.
I know, like, for instance, what scammers do. Scammers like to blackmail their victims, because a lot of times victims get hep to the game at some point. And I know one of the ways that scammers have blackmailed their victims is with naked pictures. Now, sometimes people, unfortunately, and these are romance scammers sometimes, send naked mm-hmm. pictures. But I also know that a lot of times your camera on your computer can be hacked into. So if a scammer is able to get access to something where they can hack into your computer and take control of your camera, many people leave their computer on all the time. They walk around half naked or get dressed in front of their computer camera and not thinking anything of it. And then would this be an example of using some of those bots?
Absolutely. That is one of the key purposes behind certain hackers that are looking to obtain information from you for the purpose that you just mentioned. They can either it's for their enjoyment or it's for their they are trying to have some type of ransom.
Well, Jim, I can assure you, if a scammer or hacker saw me naked, I would have the last laugh. There would be no enjoyment by them. So I win in that regard. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so this is how the hacker introduced himself on the scammer website. He found a scammer website, one that I infiltrated as well. He says, "Hello to everyone. I'm a professional hacker from China, specialized in hacking tools, spam services, exploits, internet malwares, as botnet, Trojan, rats, which you just mentioned, of course, and more. I can support anyone really interested in every day of the following tools. I want to." So that was the introductory email. Then he put his contact information for scammers to contact him and, I guess, take advantage. So I want to go through the list of the services he offered and the prices. And if you could just tell us how a scammer and a hacker could use this to harm people or businesses, I think that would be great. I think that way people would have a better understanding of what exactly we're all up against. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
All right. So the first one on the list was an SMTP Unlimited for $15. First of all, what is SMTP Unlimited?
Well, SMTP is really that is the service that processes mail. So it will take your mail and reroute it, your email.
Okay. So if I had if I got hacked and all my stuff was supposed to come to AOL, it would route it to said scammer's email instead, so they could see like my banking information, that type of thing.
Well, not with the SMTP Unlimited wouldn't do that one. There is another tool that we're going to discuss shortly that will pretty much go over what you're talking about there. SMTP Unlimited is more intended to allow the hacker or the basically the person who wants to send a mass quantity of spam, and that's why it would be SMTP Unlimited, is that they would be able to basically release a large quantity of spam messages. And those spam messages in themselves can contain additional malware.
So would they be released? Because I know in the past I've been hacked into, and people have sent spam making it look like it's from my account. Is this the same as that, or is this different?
Well, when it comes to the email portion of it, There's a couple of things. Depending on the mail client you're using, mm-hmm. there could be exploits that can allow someone to hack into your individual account.
Okay. I think my Yahoo's been hacked the most.
And that's probably a matter of just basically going through a password brute force attack to obtain your password.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ways to actually have email appear to be sent from you. So it's not necessarily your email account wasn't hacked, but I think many of us have already in the past received those messages from like Facebook where you're able to get that. It looks like it's from a person that you know, but it wasn't.
Welcome back to Davin Cyberden. We're going to continue our discussion with ethical hacker Jim Malahy of Prevalent as he continues to tell us how tools that hackers are using and selling to scammers can be used to harm every single one of us.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what they'll do. They'll do some whale fishing there. In some events, target individuals. And in some events, they just want to hit the largest number of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have malware, infested messages that are being sent or links within those messages, you'll get a larger number of responses.
All right. The next one they offered was webmail for $10. Now we all know what webmail is, but what are they selling here? I'm not really sure what they're selling.
Well, based on the way I read the advertisement for the webmail, it seems to be either they're offering a web client to actually compose the email that you're going to be sending out,
mm-hmm.
Or they could potentially have an exploit already prepared for webmail so that they could actually break into your webmail account.
So how would a scammer use that?
The scammer would use the webmail client software or through the web interface,
mm-hmm.
to generate the message that they want to send to all of those recipients based on the prior purchase of the SMTP Unlimited.
So they would work.
If it was an exploit of webmail to break into someone else's account, they can really pose as someone else in a better way than just sending messages that appear like they're coming from them. It can actually be from that webmail account.
So this is actually hacking into accounts.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the webmail client, just like any other software out there, is vulnerable. It's just a matter of time before someone's going to find a bug in it that can be exploited.
So would this be used, because we've all gotten these emails, say you got an email from my email address, which you think is me, and it says, Jim, I'm stuck in Brazil, I got robbed, I need money, please send money quick. We've all seen those emails. Is that where this comes into play, where they make it seem like it's from you?
That could be one way to produce that type of message, yes.
Okay. All right.
There are some others.
PHP mailer for $20.
A PHP mailer is actually taking that last step where you'd have to manually compose the message,
mm-hmm.
repeatedly, or you'd have to create a long list of recipients. A PHP mailer can actually automate the process for them. So, what you can do is if you had a list of names and email addresses,
mm-hmm.
you can personalize the message in an automated manner and produce it a mass email in that way.
So for $10,
so it looks like it's individual messages.
So for $10 more, you're really doing a lot less work if you're willing to make that purchase.
Absolutely.
So I mean, if you're a successful scammer, I mean, $20 is nothing because you're ripping people off for hundreds and thousands of dollars. So that's a pretty good investment.
Agreed.
Are these tools very successful, do you think? Because it seems very affordable.
I think that they are very successful, and that's why it's been such a problem, because people will, especially if the message is personalized to them based on their interests,
mm-hmm.
that will really increase the success factor for the attacker, for the scammer.
So, like, the other day in my email address, I guess I've shopped at Sears in the past, and I got an email purporting, I didn't open it, claiming to be from Sears. You've won X amount and free shipping on this, that, the other thing. Is that how one of these tools might be used?
Absolutely. Always trying to act as if it was a business that you recently did that you did business with,
mm-hmm.
or a bank. And often we've all seen those messages that act as if they're your bank that you don't even have a bank account at.
Right. Right. All right. The next one is RDP for $15. What's RDP?
So what this is it's called a remote desktop protocol.
Okay.
What that allows a person to do is use their local computer and remote control another system.
So now, like,
as if
I use
it was right in front of them.
I use TeamViewer, which is that one of these products? But I'm doing it with consent. I mean, I'm getting a password and everything. Is it similar to TeamViewer?
Well, I'm not real familiar with the TeamViewer, mm-hmm. But I would imagine that it is very similar. Basically, you're able to totally remote control a remote system, whether it be a server, typically a server behind a remote desktop protocol. So RDP is a Microsoft, it's part of the Microsoft operating system.
So you could take over somebody's server with this?
Yes, you can. Typically, I use that on a regular basis. Every day, multiple times a day, I'm using that to perform legitimate business.
So we'll take what's in the news lately. Hillary Clinton, her private server, which may or may not have had classified information on, appears like it did. Theoretically, somebody could have used an RDP and taken over her personal server and gotten classified information. Is that correct?
Well, what needs to be in place for anyone to use this particular protocol, you need to have a protocol listening on that remote server. It's a particular port 3389 needs to be listening for someone to attach to it and put that viewer together.
So
there's a couple of controls that are typically in place to prevent that type of activity. There's a firewall as well as the local system may not be permitting that type of activity, RDP activity.
All right. So this seems like if somebody does the proper precautions, RDP is not going to work.
That's true, as long as the perimeter defenses are in place.
All right, this one seems like it's less up to there's less opportunity for an individual user to bring this upon themselves. This is more of your IT team and whether they prevent it or not. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I guess if you're a scammer, and you're scamming somebody who works at a big business. And, yeah, I guess if you get the right type of information from them, you can use this.
Well, I think the way that the professional hacker here has intended this for sale,
mm-hmm.
is that they would give RDP access to a server that someone can use to perform this type of attack.
Oh, okay, so, like, hey, I know Wells Fargo, for instance, that I have access to their server for $15, I'm going to let you have access to it through RDP.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it, of course, wouldn't be a server. I wouldn't expect it to be a server that is associated with the professional hacker. It would be someone else that he's hacked into.
Right, that way it doesn't get traced back. Well, the rest of that was that way it doesn't get back traced back to the person who was doing the hacking. I don't know why it got cut off there. I have to check on that in the editing. But, yeah, I mean, fascinating stuff.
That's amazing.
I know, really is. Buy this stuff. It's just incredible.
And
this stuff's going.
And he's talking about, like, the dark net, which most people didn't even know about.
No.
Unbelievable.
So we're gonna have more with Jim in the coming weeks. Like I said, Jim and I spoke for about an hour, and we just really go through it. There's even more tools and the prices and credit cards are out there and how they get access to it. It's just, you know, so lucky that we have Jim at our disposal. But when we come back, your emails, and then later on, a new Davin's Cyber Den scams the scammers, which is always fun. We kind of turn the tables on them and have a good time. You're listening to Davin's Cyber Den. We'll be back in just a few moments. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Cyber Den. We just had, I thought, a fascinating interview with Jim O'Leary, just explaining out what all these tools do, how easy it is for them to really infiltrate our lives.
Yeah, it's somewhat alarming.
Yeah.
They really wreak havoc. So we got, like I said, we got more with Jim in the coming weeks. And I'm sure there's going to be other opportunities to get Jim's expertise as we delve into other topics and, you know, talk about even the, you know, the current events, things that are getting hacked. Jim's going to have a different perspective on things. So I'm looking forward to more with Jim, looking forward to dropping more knowledge on you. And now we're going to hopefully drop some more knowledge on you guys.
Hopefully.
We get emails. People actually contact us.
And ask for help. God help them.
Well, God's busy, so there's us.
That's right.
We'll take over for them.
Pip, what's in the non-spam folder of the email?
Diving into the mailbag. Okay, well, first we're hearing from Madison from Virginia. And she writes and said, there was an email I got from a company name redacted where I have my Visa card, and they said that my card was suspended and that I had to call the phone number they gave me and have it reactivated. When I called, they didn't sound right, and I got suspicious at some of the questions they were asking me, because if they were really my credit card company, they should have known that stuff. But the email looked just like the other email I got from them, so how was I supposed to know it wasn't real? That's her question.
Well, I mean, listen, scammers make their best efforts to fool us.
Yes.
Unfortunately, unless they work for Visa or Citi card or whoever, whatever your bank or credit card, they don't really know what exactly the forms are and what exactly they look at. So they take their best guess.
Right.
And if you have not even a trained eye, I mean, there's just certain things that you can look for. Joe, what do you usually look for when you get one of these fake emails in your spam folder?
I double check where it's from. I find out if it's legit. What the email address that was sent. You know, if it, you know, is it .com or, you know, what it actually
so if
entails.
You if you get something from a Bank of America, for instance, a credit card from the Bank of America, are you then going to look up to see what the official Bank of America credit card?
I would take a look at that, and also want to find out what information they're asking of me. Do they need, how much personal information are they looking for? Actually, if they're needing any personal information, I wouldn't give it, and I would look into it. I would call the bank, find out if it's legitimate, and see what it's all about.
You know, that's just it. I mean, all of us, if we happen to own one of these credit cards, you look on the back of the credit card, there's a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you call.
You verify.
You don't horse around. Also, the banks are not going to ask you to email them back private information, because they know emails are not always secure.
Usually they want a private information when you're going inquiring of them.
Right.
They want to their site, not vice versa.
Right. They're going to go, all right, I need you to give me your password. But that's after you've already called them or they've called you.
Yes.
And if they've called you and you're a little unsure, go, you know what, I can't talk to you right now. And you hang up, and then you call the fraud hotline, and you see if there is an issue.
Right.
If they say, well, there is, and that's the bank, that's the phone number on the back of your credit card, then you know you're talking to legitimate people.
Correct.
And you give them the information that they ask for.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that a lot of the fake ones look like, it almost looks like the right address, but then there's one little tweak to the email address that's wrong. Like sometimes they'll swap out like the letter O for a zero or vice versa.
Yeah, it's always a little tricky one.
Something just looks, it almost looks like the right address, but just one little tweak or something.
It's
and you
like
go,
it's like anything that's counterfeit. It looks good, but. So that's why when you get this type of email, you can't rush through it if you're actually going to entertain it and open it. You really have to scrutinize this.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're asking you for information or they're telling you there's something going on with your account, this isn't something you skim over. You really have to look for things. You got to look for spelling errors. You got to look for punctuation errors. You got to look for grammar. These are all things that, I mean, now there are American scammers. I mean, hey, we got them too.
Sure.
But it's a good way to eliminate.
But it was like we were saying before. I mean, your bank has a 1-800 number on the back of the card.
Mm-hmm.
You simply call that 1-800 number. Look, I've received this email asking for information. Is this legitimate? And they'll tell you whether it is or
that's
not.
That's the quick way.
Yeah.
That's the quick and dirty way. Yeah.
I mean, without all this, we're just kind of telling you what to look for. But that's the way to do it. I know my credit cards have called me.
Yeah.
You know, when they think there's some fraudulent activity.
Yeah.
And everything. But I don't necessarily take that call. I call them back on the number.
Right.
Because
right.
it could be anybody.
Yeah.
So that's the short and nasty. You call the number on the back of the credit card or on their official website.
Right.
On their official, and you can verify if it's an official website. They should have a fraud department on there. On a fraud department phone number mm-hmm. on there. You call that number or you call your credit card number. That's what you do.
And if they're asking you to put in any information on their site, you should make sure that you're loading it into a secure website. It should start with HTTPS, not just, which means HTTP hyper something protocol mm-hmm. secure with the S at the end.
And that's not, so. I mean, I don't even really recommend doing that, but you certainly don't want to do that if you're in a internet cafe or
no,
a hotel
no.
or a coffee house. You got to be doing that from a secure network.
I was just going to say that if you have a laptop and you're using a wireless, you really don't want to do any transactions like that. Right. That way they could get picked up by hackers.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the cyber world. It's amazing how little transactions I do. Cyber. I still like to go to the bank and see the folks.
I still do. I still do it too.
I do too.
I don't really pay many bills online. I like to do it the old stamp and letter way.
Or you run away and you hope they don't catch you.
I do that too. But
what else we got in the old email bag?
Okay, we have a letter from Karen from California, and she said, "I got a very strange instant message from an acquaintance on Facebook saying that she was traveling in Europe and had been mugged. She said that she and her husband had lost all their identification and their wallets, so they needed money in order to get home. The whole thing sounded really weird, and I felt like this person should have closer friends or family to ask for help, so I didn't answer. I haven't heard any more about it, but I wonder if she was trying to scam me."
All right. Listen, I mean, Joe's experiences, I've experienced this.
I got one of those.
Yeah, yes. You're not going to – somebody who you don't really know is not going to reach out to you for help. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And if you think they might, call them. And if you don't have their phone number, then they're certainly not reaching out to you for help.
I don't even have their phone number and they're bugging me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy that just friended you 6 months ago mm-hmm. is not reaching out for help when he's stuck in, you know, Asia. It's just not happening.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. You know. Now, that seems really suspect. Yeah, their hard luck story thing, as we said, it's happened to each of us. That's one of those things that's going around.
Now, what you do want to do is you want to try. You hopefully do have a way of contact. Hopefully, it is somebody you know.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a. You need to have a way of contacting that's not involved with the internet, because you don't know how much has been compromised. You don't know if it's just their Facebook account, if it's their email address, because you want to let them know, hey, you've been compromised. This is what's going on.
Mm. Yeah, there are people reaching out to your friends asking for help, money, who knows what.
Right. I mean, it's just really, I mean, worst case scenario, you email them, but hopefully you email them on an email address that's not affiliated with the Facebook, but you don't know that. So the best way is the old telephone. It's amazing. A lot of ways to thwart these internet criminals is by going back the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, and just
call. And just get on the phone, or, you know, if you can see them in person, if you know them that well, just say, hey, by the way, I got this really weird email from you. You're supposedly stuck in France with your wallet, you know.
Yeah, and find their email address and send their email.
Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine being stuck in a foreign country, and then you're just sending off random emails? Who does that?
Well, the other thing is, it's like, don't you know to go to the American embassy if you're stuck with that? They could help you with all these kinds of things.
Or you call your credit card company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you wouldn't call me, you know?
No, you're definitely not calling Joe.
No.
No, if you need money, I cannot stress enough, do not call Joe. He will delete you.
I love you.
Only when I'm looking for money.
Who is this scallywag?
Who wants money from me?
I love you, Joe, but I'm calling American Express.
Yeah, please.
All right, well, we are drawing to the final segment of the show, which will be coming up. A segment that we kind of made our bones on, the scamming the scammers. We have a brand new one of those. We're going to be doing that in a few minutes. A little different. Not a romance scam,
Ooh. But
I'm sure it is something that everybody can recognize.
Intriguing.
So, yeah, we definitely want you guys to stay tuned. You are listening to Davin's Cyber Den. Please hang tight for the final segment of the show. We'll be right back. welcome back. You are listening to Davin's Cyber Den. Having a good old time today, enjoying ourselves. We're going to do, I guess, this segment that made us famous. Are we famous?
Yes.
Yes.
I say in my mind, yes.
And in your mind, really, that's all that matters, isn't it?
Yes, it does. It comforts me.
Awesome. You like to hear things that comfort you. We know this.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Well, now, we're going to do something that's a little disquieting, not comfortable. When a scammer invades our life and tries to become a part of it and do nefarious things.
Mm. Oh, wait a minute. Fourth Mike?
Fourth Mike.
Fourth Mike.
But we like to scam them back. So what made us famous? Davin Cyberden scams the scammers.
Warning, your listening device has been infected by Davin Cyberden.
Or that. That was not what was supposed to play. You know, it's live radio.
Yeah, and so that's what happens.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm
oopsie daisy.
Well, here's the theme I meant to play. Here we go.
It's always good to hear the other one again.
Welcome to Davin's Den Scams the Scammer.
All right, so this showed up in my Facebook. This is what I was greeted with. I am Barrister Thomas Mark Esquire. These scammers always have like two first names.
but Barrister.
Barrister. Well, he's not from our country. He's clearly not American because Americans don't use barrister.
No.
All right. I am Barrister Thomas Mark Esquire, attorney to late engineer Robert Rosenblatt. Nationality of your country.
That's what he wrote.
Oh, boy.
Of your country.
Wherever
this email might wind up.
Yes.
It's your country. And your relative.
We don't have time for specifics.
No.
Not now. We got some scamsing to do.
Detail schmies.
Yes. Late engineer to Robert Rosenblatt. Nationality of your country.
It's better the second time.
Sure. Who died in a fatal car accident and left behind a deposit of U.S. $10.2 million.
Oh, God.
In a bank.
In a bank.
No.
Fortunately, it wasn't under a mattress.
In a bag.
With a vault.
Yes.
In a bank. I hereby seek your consent to present you to the bank as the next of kin to my deceased client. Hence, you have the same last name.
Thanks for that.
And I pointed the first thing in the phone book.
Listen, I just got a whole bunch of Rosenblatts. Why not? Looking forward to hearing from you for more details.
Yes.
Yes.
For more details at my private email, thomasmark7575@gmail.com. Regards, Thomas Mark Esquire.
I'd beware.
Well, I emailed him back, Joe. In the subject line, I put dead Rosenblatt.
My aunt.
Just dead Rosenblatt.
Very
sad time for me and my family.
I'm sorry you're taking this so hard.
I do.
Too distraught to get into details.
Yes, yes. Hello, Mr. Mark. I must thank my Lord that you found me. There's a radio show that we're going to make you famous on, so thank my Lord.
Yes, thank you for the content.
I'm a bit down on my luck, as I was in love with somebody who was not what they claimed and took a very large portion of my fortune and left me heartbroken.
Aww.
It was very ugly what happened, and a bit of money now would be very good. If you are a high-quality attorney, maybe I'll retain you to help me collect my lost fortunes. I look forward to hearing back from you. Sincerely, Living Rosenblatt.
No!
I didn't want him to be confused.
And it won't faze them.
No.
It won't faze them.
They'll be like, what an unusual first name. No, they won't even notice.
It won't faze them.
They are they're thrilled that I've responded.
Of course they are.
Dear Davin, thanks for your email. Sorry what happened to you. I will help you to recover your lost fortunes. I am happy to receive your response in regards to the mutual business proposal. After the death of Robert Rosenblatt, I tried all my best to locate his direct family, but all my efforts were in vain. Now, bank has mandated me to present the next of kin. As bank is wont to do.
It's a small town. There's just a store, a shop, a bank. So bank wants to.
You've been mandated.
You've been mandated Wait, by bank.
And there's a ghost still in there counting change.
Yes, right.
To the present next of kin to my late client. Otherwise, his funds will be transferred into government account as unclaimed deposit. Actually, the part you are required to take in this transaction is risk-free, and it can never endanger your position in any way.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Man.
No, Mr. Mark.
Mr. Mark.
Thanks for the free money.
Listen, I'm not going to be endangered, and yes, it's free money. What could possibly go wrong? First of all, I will have to send to you the text of application, which you have to fill and send to the bank, making reference to the account number and inquiring on how to have your late uncle's or brother fund transfer to your account.
I can get my brother's money too.
Let's not haggle over semantics. There's a dead Rosenblatt on our hands,
and I don't to you. It could be grandma for all we know. It's not
Caitlyn Jenner, right. It's a male Rosenblatt that died. Little respect, Joe.
Yes.
A little respect.
I'm so sorry.
To have your late uncle's or brother fund transferred to your account, which will be contained in the application. After, the bank must have received the application from you. In turn, they will have to send to you the bank questionnaire. On the questionnaire, you have to answer the necessary information as required from the bank. The information supplied by you will be used to determine your true position as the bona fide next of kin to the deceased customer.
And to take your money.
No, Joe, I think an email should clear this all up.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll take an email from a foreigner saying, no, the 10.2, yeah, that's me.
Oh,
that's
mine. I just give you all my personal information. Sounds good to me.
What could possibly go
wrong?
Yes.
All the information required will be relayed to you by me.
What a guy.
If the information supplied to the bank are genuine, and how would they not be, then the bank will sign the approval for the release and transfer of the fund to your given account. Send the following informations, possessive, to me so that I, lowercase, can draft and send to you the text of the application, which you will send to the bank requesting them to release the deposit to you. Your full names, I may have multiples.
Your full names.
Occupation, age, telephone, address. This should be enough to get 10.2.
Yeah.
Sure.
Please do respond back as soon as possible. My direct number is, then he gives me his direct number. So I Googled the phone number because I was curious.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if this was suspicious or not. Because there could be a dead Robert Rosenblatt that needs my attention.
You never know.
You could need his money.
I was so looking forward to getting that $10.2 million.
Then you could have bought $10.2 million in lottery tickets.
Yes.
Really
hit a bank.
I thought for reals this was going to be the big one.
Yeah. I got my fingers crossed.
Unfortunately, the phone number showed up on a website where you report fraud.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. Even more disheartening. He used the same intro letter. The only difference is he replaced Rosenblatt with a different last name.
No!
No, he didn't do a thing like that.
He kept Robert, though.
Boy, how many dead Roberts is he writing about?
Enough, we can switch the names.
So this kind of goes to what Jim was talking about with how they get these form emails and everything.
Yeah.
This speaks right to that. So briefly, what are your thoughts on that? We'll continue with it in the coming weeks.
Well, it's just interesting. I mean, it's one of those things where they fish for your personal information with that. I mean, and it's so vague the way they're saying it. I mean, you should be able to pick up on it really quick.
I mean, have you guys ever seen these emails before?
Yeah. I mean, this is a sort of a takeoff on that whole, I'm a prince, but I've been exiled from my country, and you're the only one who can help me get my money back.
Yeah. They're all variations on the same thing. And these play on greed. This is not about romance.
No.
This is like, this is a dead kin. Yay!
Well, not to go into detail, I'm actually working on one right now. I've been actually corresponding with one the past couple of days.
Are you Thomas Mark?
No.
Are you trying to scam me?
This was a young lady whose uncle, Ira, killed...
Or brother.
Or brother. Killed her father.
Okay.
And she's trying to get out of her country, and she's looking for a little help to do it.
Well, we look forward to the help that you may provide to
us.
But the time is drawing near when we must get
disappear.
Out of here. Oh, yeah, that works too. Pep, what do you got going on this week?
Well, Johnny and the Alimonies are playing at the Pie Man, 107 Route 303 in Oh, my God. Valley Cottage, New York, on Saturday, August 22nd at 9 p.m.
Great. I'll be going to be performing a lot this week. I'll be doing live comedy Friday and Saturday, August 21st and 22nd in Springfield, New Jersey at the Comedy Cove. For tickets, call 973-376-3840. And Sunday, I'm going to be in Middletown, Connecticut at Fiore 2. Call 860-375-5669. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We're going to have more with Jim in the coming weeks.
Great.
And we're going to have more of Thomas Mark. I'm confident that this is going to work out well for all.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I'm confident that I'm going to be able to verify my genuine self to the bank.
And get the money.
So I don't think we're going to have to worry about anything.
Are you going
to
list all your names?
Yes, I'm going to list all my names. We're going to get rich. So thank you guys for hanging out on Davin Cyber Den. Remember, knowledge is a scammer's Achilles heel. Stay safe, everybody, and make sure you tune in next week to Davin's Cyber Den. Peace, y'all.